So for you.
It's time for Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
This is something special for you.
Here's your host, Ben Criddle.
Welcome in Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com studios. Stop living with ED. No need to live with the ED anymore. Get the vigor and vim, the spontaneity back into your life at Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. WasatchMedicalClinic.com. Got a great show for you Tuesday, getting you ready for the BYU-Utah State game. Is it a rivalry game, right? Is this a game in which we should destroy? And when I say we, like, yeah, we as fans and as the Cougar football team, we're all part of it. 12th man, when we're at home, it's very important to take on that 12th man mentality, whoever comes into Lavelle's house. Protect it. Protect this house. Okay, Under Armour, going throwback here. But should this be a demolition of sorts as the Aggies, the utter tuggers of the North, come into Provo? Chime in on all the questions and polls of the day, but always keep us locked throughout the show, the 960 AM dial. You can stream us from the website, ESPN960sports.com. Tune in app, ESPN960 app. You can download the app from the respective app stores. You can always tell your smart speaker as well, hey, smart speaker, hey, smartphone, listen to Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle. Hey, smart speaker, hey, smartphone, listen to the ESPN 960 app. You can download the podcast if you miss any of it, all the interviews, all the news and notes, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Appreciate it when you do. You can follow me on Twitter at Criddle Benjamin. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN960Sports. And check out all my questions and polls as I drop them. It's brought to you by Chubby's Cafe. Chubby's Cafe, UT.com. If you're heading to one of the Chubby's locations, we're going to be at the Chubby's tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon, at the Orem location. You can mention ESPN when you walk in, when you're ordering. With your choice of an entree, you can get some free scones. Right, the scones are fantastic. Mention ESPN 960 when you walk into any one of the Chubby's locations, and you're going to get some free scones with your purchase. So hit them up, try it out, all the locations along the Wasatch Front. They're big BYU fans, and I always say let them give them an opportunity to earn your business. But the Chubby's Cafe hotline is also open to you, the call-in line, 844-442-0960. That's 844-442-0960. You got questions? You got you need answers? You want a debate? Hit me up. Criddle Benjamin on Twitter and on the Chubby's Cafe hotline, 844-442-0960. That's 844-442-0960. Jaren Hall, quickly becoming one of the most effective and efficient quarterbacks in college football. And it's not to say that people haven't noticed over the years. There's been a variety of individuals that have hopped onto our show and given him love. Most recently, Jordan Breed, ESPN, NFL draft analyst, college football writer, color commentator. He got his hands on the All-22 film of BYU football, right? Made a little request to take a gander at our guy, at our quarterback, our QB1, Jaren Hall, and states this: Jaren Hall has the attention of NFL scouts. He's made some impressive throws like this one over the past few weeks, and it's the dime into the breadbasket of one Chase Roberts versus Baylor Week 2 at Lavelle, right to the corner of the end zone, right to the pylon. It was beautiful. It was celestial. It was perfect. Jaren Hall has been nearly perfect this season. Very few mistakes. It doesn't make mistakes. The one INT thrown was, attributed per Aaron Rodgers to himself and the play call that set Jaren Hall up for failure on that particular play. But other than that, he's been nails. He's been precise. He's been accurate. He's been confident. He's led BYU to a variety of wins. Even in the loss versus Oregon, Jaren Hall was magnificent. He really was. It wasn't his fault that Oregon, the Ducks, completely demolished us. And in those big-time losses, like when it's that large of a chasm, sometimes you may blame your quarterback because they're not keeping up with the opponents. No, it was not his fault. It was the defense's fault in that particular occasion, especially the first half. So, Jaren Hall, we got to talk about him today, and we know that he will be leaving us after this season. So we got to cherish him, man. You got to really celebrate what he's accomplishing this season. And then, you know, you hate to say compare, contrast, but you need to. Guys like Todd McShay right now are delving into the film and are evaluating the best quarterbacks of the college football landscape. Todd McShay said this: the clear-cut top three quarterbacks in the 2023 class are C.J. Stroud, we know, Bryce Young, Will Levis. Tyler Van Dyke and Anthony Richardson are loaded with traits but have disappointed. They really haven't played well. I think Richardson looks great when he's running around. He's slinging in 7-on-7, but he just hasn't played well enough. Talking to NFL scouts, these QBs are rising fast. BYU's Jaren Hall, UT's Hendon Hooker, and Fresno State's Jake Haener. And I believe two of those guys, Jake Haener's a 3D QB acolyte. He is a student of the quarterback scientist, Jonathan, I don't know what his middle name is. I forgot John's middle name. I'm going to have to text him. What's your middle name? John Beck, the doctor of quarterback Scientology. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say Scientology. He is a scientist of quarterbackdom, of quarterbacking, whatever it is. And he hasn't got angry when I've called him a quarterback scientist. He doesn't like being called a quarterback coach, quarterback whisperer, none of that. He doesn't like it. He hasn't rebuked me for calling him a quarterback scientist yet, so I'm sticking to it. Anyway, lots to get to. Let's discuss it all here on your Cougar Sports Insider Radio Network. ESPN 960. The fire up the ESPN 960 starting lineup music so I can introduce you to my co-hosts and the rest of the Star Center cast will be joining you for this Tuesday edition of Cougar Sports. Let's first welcome in Cougar Sports Insider representing KSL.com. Former wrestler here in Utah County. Put you in an arm bar before you know. Let's welcome in Cougar Sports Insider for KSL.com, Sean Walker. What's up, S-Dub?
I was always more of a cradle guy than an armbar guy.
Cradle guy?
But, I mean, I'll accept the armbar, you know. I was usually the one being put into an armbar, so that's why I...
Not true.
Yeah.
Don't let him lie to you guys.
I was the armbar specialist. I was very good at dislocating my shoulder to get out of said armbars and then popping it back in.
Nice. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. So I have, I guess you can say Trevinell and I have a little something in common.
Yeah, rotator cuff
injuries. Bad shoulders. Yeah.
Man, I hate seeing the news that already we're hitting the injury bug for basketball.
It's there.
And my question of the day is going to revolve around hoop a little bit. I know we're in the midst of college football season, but like Mark Pope doesn't open practice and starts hyping up the basketball team and the shooters that are coming to town, the Noah Watermans, right? The Rudy Williams.
Yep. And who's that in street clothes over there on the sideline? Oh, it's Trevinell.
Trevinell. And all of a sudden...
Get well soon, Trev. We love you, man.
Yeah. Get well soon.
Get well soon.
Anyway, your initial takeaways from BYU basketball, seeing their open practice, watching guys like Foose. Foose is loose, man. He looks good, right? Tell me what you think about this BYU basketball team. What do you like about them and why? Any new faces that really stood out to you?
A lot of new faces.
Little Dallin Hall action. Yeah. I liked what I saw from him. Richie Saunders.
Dallin Hall looks thick. So he's only been back from his mission, his church mission, for a couple of months.
When will Thick no longer be, because we use certain verbs, or certain descriptors, adverbs, adjectives, etc. And eventually they wear on us so that we stop you. Thick is getting there for me, because Salt Lake,
Thick Boy 7.
I used to use Thick a lot, like in the early days of Cougar Sports. Now, like, look, Salt Lake took it over, I'm like, I'm not saying thinking. I'm saying robust.
Look,
I'm saying girthy.
Have enough girth and just meat up front in order to play this team.
I'm talking,
that's fair.
Meaty.
Thanks, Eliza.
You know, like meaty, girthy, robust. I need different adjectives.
I'm done with thick. I have thoughts about girth, but I'll save them for a day when Brandon Gurney is on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, we are. Wasatch Medical Clinic that will be joining us today. So, stay tuned.
That's true.
Thick is only used when you're speaking about a female.
Yeah, typically, right?
No, there's no there's
unless
no
you're
other
cam
way.
Rising.
There's no other way.
Unless typically, you're cam rising.
Typically.
Yeah, it, like if I say like, man,
that girl,
like that running back, he was hard to take down. He was thick.
Yeah, that's not
that's
good.
That's not I'd pause and look at somebody
it's not,
like
that's not kosher.
No, it's just not.
That's uncouth.
Now I'm not look, I don't got we obviously know, you know, we don't have any problems with, you know, that type of stuff. However, there's a certain words that are associated with certain things
sure.
in people. And I would say thick is one of them.
Is the connotative meaning is directed
whether
to the
it's,
feminine.
Whether
the,
it's an
the,
actual
the,
definition.
The divine
even,
feminine.
Okay.
Yes.
The divine
okay.
feminine.
It's a compliment.
Yeah.
Like in this context and that term, when you're describing yep. a female and thick, that's a compliment.
Some girls don't like to be called the thick word.
That's like
you know.
Saying that's like saying you're beautiful. I don't know, be beautiful. Beautiful.
No, that's different. They like everyone
no,
likes to be called.
I know
beautiful.
That's my point.
Unless you're ugly and you say they're beautiful, and they're like, oh my gosh, that guy's so weird. You know, that's how it goes. But if you're good looking, they're like, oh, it's you know, that's how it rolls.
That's true.
But
that's true.
Thick, it is somewhat of a divisive word amongst the females, from what I've got. Anyway, I think you're right, though. There's let's welcome in our second co-host, Room for All, the ambassador of Room for All. Let's welcome in former BYU defensive back, Brian Logan. What's up, B-Lo?
So, man, that's why you let me stay, because I had the shirt on, Room for All. I had to stay. It was perfect. This is perfect. So,
and you look good in it.
Thanks,
you look great, man.
You know, for people, to give some people some background. I'm the co-host on Tuesdays, and so I came in today, and then I saw somebody in my seat,
and then Criddle was trying to replace
and
you.
He was like, oh no, you can leave, man. You can leave. Like, don't worry about it. And I was like, nah, I need to stay for at least 30 minutes. but I'm wearing this Room for All shirt.
Yeah, you thought there was Room for All, not no more.
And
on Tuesdays.
I know you when you saw me. You probably looked at my shirt. I was like, dang, I got to make some room.
I got to make some room.
Room for
make
all sorry,
room.
Shoot.
Oh man, B-Lo, great to have you here, man. Appreciate you being here. Lots to get to. Shout out to Gavin Lee. Let's also welcome in Bryce Larson, executive producer, Cougar Sports. What's up, Bryce?
How's it going?
Living the dream, man. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you keeping us on track so we don't deviate from the task at hand. So lots to get to. Jay Drew's going to be joining us. Riley Jensen, we got sound from Kalani Sitake, Blake Anderson, Mark Pope from practice. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. Always brought to you by Bucked Up, buckedup.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are pleased to present our dancers with their interpretation of the nitty-gritty.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2.
So anyways, let's get down to the nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty always brought to you by Bucked Up, buckedup.com. If you're looking for the best supplements in the business, choose local, choose Bucked Up. Get bucked up with energy, get bucked up with branched chain amino acids, get bucked up with their protein bars. That's right. If you're looking for fantastic protein bars, they have a variety of delicious flavors. But I've been digging the pre-workout, gives me energy, gives me the nutrients, the focused nutrition I need prior to pushing some weight. Check out all of the variety of products that could increase strength and power, improve athletic performance, and assist with muscle recovery at Bucked Up, buckedup.com. All right, let's get into a few things here with Hoop so we can put basketball to bed, can we? We got to see.
It's football season.
It's football season. So I'm going to do it in the nitty gritty, just like let's get it done, let's get it over with. Maybe talk Hoop later on, but. So there was an open practice on BYU TV last night. Jerem Jordan was on the call. Tyler Hawes was there as well. Love hearing from both of them. It was fantastic. I just like seeing guys, you know, play some hoops. See the length, the athleticism. Just get eyes on. It's nice to be able to size them up. Media was in attendance. It was an open practice, open forum. Give me your initial takeaways from practice, Sean. What did you see? What did you like? What did you dislike? Anything that you want to highlight here about this BYU men's basketball team and the new roster?
Well, I mean, I think my biggest takeaway, and that's actually being published right now on KSL.com if y'all want to read along. It's a website. You might have heard about it. Hopefully you buy a couch from there and maybe read something every now and then. Shout out to our sponsors, KSL Classifieds.
I see you.
There we go. We're done with them. But, yeah, my biggest takeaway, I think, aside from the Trevin Nell situation that we talked about earlier, rotator cuff surgery out until at least January at the earliest, maybe as many as 4 months, as much as 4 months. I think the other thing I had was just how new this team looks. Obviously, there are 12 newcomers on the roster. That's the biggest headliner, led by guys like Rudy Williams from Coastal Carolina, Noah Waterman from Detroit Mercy looks really good. Jax Robinson from the Arkansas transfer looks good, although still TBD if he can get eligible for this season. BYU has submitted a waiver to the NCAA, but he has transferred twice already, once from Texas A&M and now once from Arkansas, so he's got to go through that appeals process. Mark Pope is hopeful. Obviously, he should be. But technically, they are in the middle of that appeals process. So those guys looked really good. Obviously, you've got a trio of freshmen that are fresh off of missions in Dallin Hall, Tanner Toulson, and Ricky Saunders out of Wasatch Academy. They look really good. But even beyond just the personnel, there's a lot that just looks different about this team. We heard, and I won't go into like too many like exact details. I can't remember the exact language that was used, but we heard multiple times throughout the practice Pope talking to his players about not doing X like last year. So like there was one reference in particular where he was talking about changing up their defense, playing a different style or a different brand of defense, being a lot more active on defense, more of like an Amber Whiting like defense, in fact. In some ways. So maybe there's some crossover between the men's and women's program. I don't
probably
know.
Not, but yeah, I appreciate
but,
that.
But, you know, I'll throw that out there just in case.
That.
But, yeah, so there's just talk about doing things differently, playing differently. Obviously, different personnel. There's a different assistant coach. But there are also different kind of support staff members around this team, a larger analytics division. There's a mental health performance division within the program. More sports scientists, both physically and mentally, with the program. Guys who can help strength and conditioning coach Eric Shork to do his job a little bit better. So I feel like there's a, you know, obviously like new uniforms dropped last week. That was like a formal official rebrand. Sure. But it almost feels like this BYU basketball program is being rebranded in a lot of ways.
They're going to just shoot the ball. Like 2020, three YU's back.
I mean, there are definitely some shooters.
BYU, three YU is back. Sure. All you female canines.
There are.
Wow. You know what I mean?
Like there are definitely some shooters, but there's also a lot more length. There's a ton of length on this team, led by guys like Gideon George. Obviously, I mentioned Noah Waterman. Noah is long, like really long.
Yeah.
And pictures don't necessarily do it justice with just how long. Guy is. He's a true stretch four.
Do you feel like it's
what BYU has lacked for a long time?
Do you get a sense that it's a rebrand based off of the personnel that they have, or is it more of, you know, it's trying to take the program to the next level?
Yeah, and I mean, so. I think all of the above. All of the above. I mean, there was very clearly an obvious decision to flip the program last offseason, like it or not, whether some of it was for good, some of it was for bad. Obviously, they lost a lot of guys to transfer portal. Again, some for good, some for bad. And so part of that was spurred, like, internally. You know, we got to go replace a guy like Caleb Lohner, got to go replace a guy like Gavin Baxter, you know, guys that transferred already. So that was obviously forced on them. But then it also feels like, Pope and his assistants kind of use the opportunity to say, okay, let's not just get guys to replace what we lost. Let's not just go get Rudy Williams from Coastal Carolina to replace Alex Barcelo, who felt like he was at BYU for like 17 years, even though he was a mid-career transfer, which is wild to me. Like, Rudy is a very different type of combo guard from Alex, but that was like the initial thinking was like, okay, he's going to play that same role. And maybe in some ways he will, but he's still like, he plays differently. He looks differently. He's a different type of combo guard than Alex. Mm. So like there's, I guess that's the answer. It's like yes and no. Like part of it was spurred, but I think part of it was also this group realizing that they're a year out from the Big 12 and they have to do something different to prepare for what will arguably be the best conference in America next year.
All I know is that this is going to be a better shooting BYU basketball team. And furthermore, I will say this. You mentioned Gavin Baxter. My one plight, my one criticism maybe this offseason and revamping the roster, et cetera, is allowing Gavin Baxter to leave as a PW. And now I know he's a PW at Utah, right? I know he's a PW at Utah, and he's been injured. What, he played in, what, 16 games, 18 games or whatever in 3 years? It's not good.
For sure.
So sometimes you just, you know, you just kick it to the curb. It's just not good enough anymore. You can't stay healthy. And Mark Pope is a little, how would I describe him? Man, he's a bit ruthless, man.
Cutthroat.
Man, he's ruthless.
Cutthroat. Really?
Oh, he's a competitive son of a gun.
He is.
Okay,
competitive is
different than cutthroat.
But no, I said ruthless. Cutthroat is that synonymous? Like, cutthroat is like where, like, I mean, it's almost petty. Ruthless is like he is so competitive, like that, you know.
Cutthroat to me sounds like it's kind of like shady.
Yeah, to me, ruthless is not shady. Ruthless is like if you have been injured, okay, and you are not producing.
That could be shady.
I am so competitive.
That's a good point.
I'm so competitive. Like, look, Gav, you can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I got to let you go. Mm-hmm. See, I think he's way too athletic, way too twitchy, way too long. Even if he has been injured, it's kind of like, no, you don't get Gavin Baxter's coming through your program at Brigham. The last guy that looked like Gavin was Chosich. And I know Gavin isn't Chosich, okay? He's not a handler of the ball. He's not a shooter. He's not a distributor. But I'm just talking raw, genetic potential. You got to harness that.
But if he's not contributing, then
I agree, but he's ruthless to say, mm-mm. Okay, no, you're done. You're ruthless. Yeah. Like, you've been injured too much.
Ruthless
you gotta go.
Is a – so I would say that both of those words are similar, but ruthless is softer, right?
Ruthless,
it's not as aggressive.
Sure. Ruthless is competitive.
Sure.
Cutthroat is like you could get petty with it. That's how I view it.
Sure.
And I just think that a lot
of that just depends on your perspective.
I would have
Gavin
tried
Baxter
to,
might say
I would yeah, have tried to like, retain Gavin, and I probably – you know – I don't want to, like, target any one player here, but I would have tried to figure out. That's my personal opinion. That's my hot take, my basketball take for the day. Because Clay, I don't care if it's a little injured and it's a little inconsistent. When that Clay is has that artist in there, and maybe Shork and Pope and all these guys could have made it into a beautiful masterpiece. Like, that Clay's too good, in my opinion, to let it flow to somebody else. That I hope Michelangelo ain't over there up on the hill. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there? Huh? You know?
He might be.
That's all I'm saying. But I like this team. I like this squad. I think they can win 20 games. I think they can. And I think they're going to be better shooters. Like, there are a few things. Like, I want to see, whenever I'm watching hoop, when I'm watching basketball, BYU basketball, I need to see good shooters, and I need to see great effort on defense. That's what I need. Yeah. I need it. That's all. If you do that, if you give phenomenal effort defensively and you can hit while you're open and while you're semi-contested, I'm a happy camper. It's like if you lose because you went against better athletes, because you went against longer, more athletic dudes, whatever. Like, but you can shoot and you can play good hard-nosed defense, great effort. Hey, you can do a lot, man. You win a lot of games that way. That's what I want to see. That's my bar. Anyway, Todd McShay, as I mentioned, has been taking a look at a few other quarterbacks, not named Bryce Young, not named C.J. Stroud. Okay, Jaren Hall is one of those guys. We're going to discuss it next, and just how good Jaren Hall can be. Are we seeing, you know, this? I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see what Zach Wilson, you know, was able to accomplish in his junior year at BYU, right, where he skyrocketed up to the number 2 overall pick. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Jaren is doing something right now that is extremely special.
Special.
And people are watching. And BYU's winning. You did have that loss versus Oregon, but once again, like, no one is looking at that Oregon film saying, wow, you know, Jaren just didn't play well. He had a phenomenal game versus Oregon. So,
yeah,
it's not bad film in a loss, a massive loss. I mean, it's you know what I mean? Like, it's a three-plus.
It's an embarrassing loss.
It is an embarrassing loss, but, like, it had nothing to do with Jaren, which is crazy. Like, you can't say, oh, he made that mistake. He threw
It is crazy to say, think that, right?
Right?
With a quarterback, right?
It's like, you're thinking, like, oh, my gosh, it was such a horrible loss. It was so bad. And we're like, man, our quarterback played awesome.
Right? Like, that's
What? I mean, we have seen that in BYU football history, right, when you're – the good old whack days. I suppose BYU fans are all the West Stand, fans are saying, Ben, you didn't watch the old whack days, did you? When there's no defense. Or you didn't watch that 2005 BYU-TCU game, did you? I was there. I watched it. But it's not typical. We're going to go to break. Let's talk Jaren Hall on the flip side. This is Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.
Just like the Cougar football team, Ben Criddle was built, not born. And since 2009, he's built himself into the go-to source on the radio and online for all things BYU. This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960 and ESPN960Sports.com.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com studio. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic. WasatchMedicalClinic.com. Sean Walker by my side, Brian Logan in the house. Band of the day, Flo Rida. I got a good feeling, right? Or good feeling is the song of the day. Band of the day, Flo Rida. Always brought to you by RoyalArmyBrand.com. BYU swag, Criddle by fans. For fans, stay loyal to the Royal. Rep the Y the right way. Purchase all your BYU licensed apparel at RoyalArmyBrand.com. We'll be across the street from Lavelle Edwards Stadium prior to kickoff from about 2 to 6 p.m. Prior to that Utah State game on Thursday, stop by, say hello, get swagged out, get the best BYU licensed apparel in the business today at RoyalArmyBrand.com. Reminder, we'll be at Chubby's Cafe in Orem tomorrow for a fantastic event, a remote event. Stop by and get yourself some delicious scones when you mention ESPN. Before we get to our question and poll of the day, let's get out to the hotline. Welcome in our good friend Andrew of Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com, to tell us about the deals that are going on for all the listeners that are suffering from ED. Andrew, tell us.
Well, if you're suffering from ED, likely there's a little bit of damage to the blood vessels in this part of the body. A little bit of a restriction in blood flow. It's normal. Now, our acoustic wave therapy at Wasatch Medical, two forms, guys. Pressure waves repair, soften the blood vessels so they can dilate better, even regrow them. That's known as neovascularization. Basically, we can get the blood flowing properly. That is a pretty great thing for life in the bedroom. It has no pills, no chemicals, and no side effects.
For those that hear the ads and don't act, what is it that limits their action?
Well, there's a lot of guys probably listening right now thinking, I have ED, my relationship is really, it's taking a hit a little bit, but it's too embarrassing to call. Going to the clinic, that sounds horrible. So I think those are the reasons. Just keep this in mind. A few 15-minute sessions in a discreet, comfortable, confidential environment, rather than going to the pharmacy for the rest of your life or suffering with the failures in the bedroom, it's a much easier scenario than men may imagine.
Give them a call. Set up an appointment. 801-901-8000. It's a free 99. That's right. Free 99. Free consultation, education, and ultrasound to get the baseline of where you're at with your blood flow. Get it evaluated for free, and then get a game plan moving forward. Call them today. 801-901-8000. WasatchMedicalClinic.com. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. So poll of the day / question of the day. If Jaren Hall continues on this trajectory, let's say BYU loses to, let's be optimistic here. They only lose to Arkansas at home. Two losses, BYU's 10-2. They're kind of hovering outside a New Year's Six bowl.
That's certainly a very possible scenario, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's more of a that's more probable than BYU winning out and then going to a New Year's Six bowl, and then we all live happily ever after, and Jared Hall becomes the number one NFL number three NFL draft drafted quarterback behind maybe Stroud and Bryce Young. Let's say that that's the celestial experience that all Cougar fans would want. It's probably not going to happen. More realistic and even still improbable as you go 10-2 and you're in a really good bowl game. You go to the Vegas Bowl, you play Utah, and you beat Utah. Jared Hall's 2-0 versus Utah. Wouldn't that be great? All right. All right. That's more feasible. Where do you project Jared Hall to be drafted if he has and he continues on this trajectory? Is he a day one guy? Because he's been labeled as a day three guy thus far by a number of analysts. Okay. He's more mid-round to late rounds currently, maybe due to his age, maybe due to his injury history, maybe due to a number of different vertical passing has been a question mark, even though I think he's got a great arm. He just hasn't been able to showcase it maybe the last few years. And maybe that's one of the reasons, you know, that maybe that's one of the contributing reasons to his injuries have been the contributing reason to his lack of vertical game. It hasn't been bad. It just hasn't been elite what they're looking for with a big arm. That throw to Keanu Hill, it was a bomb, shut some NFL scouts up or got them talking about Jared Hall, rather. That ball to Chase Roberts, corner of the end zone. Okay, some of these throws he's making right now have been very impressive, turning some heads. Where are we projecting right now? If he continues on this trajectory, as I mentioned before, Todd McShay says the clear-cut top three quarterbacks in 2023 class are Stroud, Young, and Levis. You have Tyler Van Dyke, Anthony Richardson. They're loaded with all manner of talent and traits, but they've disappointed. Talking to NFL scouts, Todd McShay says these quarterbacks are rising fast. BYU's Jared Hall, UT's Hendon Hooker, and then Fresno State's Jake Hanner. So, where are we at right now? What's our confidence level, Cougar Nation? Where are you at, Sean Walker, and then below?
I think day one is probably a little bit far. I mean, I don't want to say it's impossible because I don't think anything's impossible. Certainly what Jaren has been doing through the first four games of the season has seen his stock rise incredibly if he keeps it up.
Yeah.
You know, possible, I think, is an okay word to say for day one. I think more probable is he slides into a day two pick. Right now, he's a mid-round prospect. Somewhere in that sort of third through fifth round phase, probably. That's where he sort of came into the season. That was kind of his sort of baseline projection that everybody was working with. He's been so good through four games, though, that I could see him jumping into, say, a team that wants him out of the second round, you know, that address their first need with their first round pick, and then goes, you know, we've got a quarterback, but we need a quarterback, you know, somebody who's aging. Maybe they're playing somebody like a Matt Ryan or something like that. And they certainly want to prepare for the future, and that future is sooner rather than later, so they're not going to wait until kind of those depth rounds. So like that second, third round area, I think is certainly very plausible if Jaren continues on the kind of on the trajectory that he's on right now. Now, that being said, he could also go the other way. I mean, I don't think anybody's necessarily rooting for it, but maybe the hype gets to be too much. Maybe he comes back down to earth, progresses a little bit more towards the mean of what he is, because he's so good right now. Like, do we really think he's going to go the rest of the year without throwing another interception?
Yes.
Okay, like that feels kidding. Optimistic, no, but yes,
I'm messing.
Sure,
I'm
that's
not,
fine.
I'm not messing. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's.
I feel that way.
Is it possible? Sure. I don't know if it's necessarily probable. So if he regresses a little bit more to the mean, kind of becomes just a little bit more of what he's been for the last couple of years, I think he probably slides back more into like the upper crust of the mid rounds, kind of that third round, fourth round type, which is still fine. I mean, look, Tyler Allgeier. Where's our resident Falcoholic on the
Bryce.
Headset for us, Bryce? Tyler Allgeier was a fourth round pick, and fifth he's
round.
Doing just fine right now in Atlanta.
Fifth round.
So
Bryce,
what? Yeah, did I say fourth?
You said third.
Fifth round. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, fifth round.
He's doing just fine in Atlanta right now, though. So like even going somewhere there in that third, fourth round, it's still okay for Jared. But I think he can slide up into the second.
You know, what's interesting is you'd almost want a quarterback. if you're getting drafted, you know, third to fifth round, that usually means you don't. The team doesn't have a need, right? Or you could assume that. You could assume.
Or an immediate need.
Immediate need, yeah. Right? Which means, you know, you have some time to grow, to learn, right? Get acclimated to the league, et cetera, et cetera.
Unless you're Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers.
Right, right, exactly. You know what? I was just going to say, look at Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, right? And guys being, you know, nurtured and not having to go out the gates like Zach did. You know, I like your point as far as what we thought. I think the projections was more fifth round, right? That third to five. I kind of saw maybe fifth. Hearing the buzz and, you know, everything that Ben talked about in the beginning of the show, and even now, right, like in break, I'm looking at these random websites. Some are legit, some are just random.
Yeah.
Everybody has his stock up, right?
For sure.
And everybody is saying, you know, rounds 1 to 3. So if we were to stick with your scenario, Ben, I would say he'd go first. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's take it this into consideration. Hype, right?
Well, I mean, hype
plays a lot into this stuff, man. Think about it. How many times do we hear that quarterback's a bust or that draft pick was a bust?
Is this right?
Why is it a bust?
Hype or is it like because
it's all the above, man? Oh, hype is hype.
There's different elements of hype.
No, not when it comes to the draft. You have analysts, you have coaches, you have opposing coaches, right? You have commissioners, you have scouts, mm-hmm. right? And you have NFL coaches. To me, all of those make up the hype.
Yeah.
It's not really like, oh, the analyst hype or the coach's hype. No, no. Because they all speak to each other. You watch the combine,
yeah.
right? Like, that's the first time, the only time of the year where you have multiple coaches, you know, multiple teams. Sitting together, conversing with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so
sure.
The hype is hype. And right now he has a lot of hype. I believe it's good hype, right? It's not like a negative hype. Or, you know, when you play somebody, you're like, man, that dude's overrated.
Yep.
Like, you're not going to get that with him. So I think momentum and the hype that he has right now, if that continues based off your scenario, like, I think that will get him to the first round.
Yeah. What would have been – look, I'll give you my idyllic situation, and I'm going to kind of go into the past here, looking year over year, quarterback drafts, the last 4 years, and how many quarterbacks were taken first, second, third round. Mm. And, every draft is its own unique story. Last year, for instance, it would have been beautiful for him to come out. Let's say he's having this type of year last year, which he started off pretty strong. This year probably better in some ways, and maybe last year better in some ways with how BYU the team started. But last year, Kenny Pickett was your first round, first overall pick. I mean, that's crazy, right? Desmond Ridder to the Falcons. I don't know how you felt about that pick. Are we still okay with that pick? How do you feel about that pick, Bryce? Still good with that? Second.
Yeah.
Round three in the second. Or sorry, was it... It was round three, number two overall in the nose.
It was close to that. I'd have to pull it up and see. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, we're still fine with that. He just hasn't gotten a lot of time out on the field yet. It's mostly been Marcus Mariota besides the preseason. So
yeah. So you know, it was round three though. I believe it was round three. Malik Willis to the Titans, round three. Matt round three. Then you go to 2021. That was a really nice draft class, right? Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, all taken in the first round. It's crazy, man.
That is crazy.
Crazy. And then you have Kyle Trask taken in the second round, Kellen Mond in the third round, Davis Mills in the third round, Ian Book, fourth round, Sam Ellinger, sixth round. Those were all the quarterbacks taken there. The year prior, Joe Burrow, first round. Tua Tagovailoa, first round. Justin Herbert, first round. Jordan Love, first round. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts, second round. Jacob Eason, fourth. James Morgan, fourth. Jake Fromm, fifth. Jake Luton, sixth. And then Cole McDonald, Ben DiNucci, Tommy Stevens, Nate Stanley, all taken the seventh round. 2019 draft. Kyler Murray, first round. Daniel Jones, first round. Dwayne Haskins, first round. What is that? It's going to be tough to get into the first round, but it also depends on need. And you're looking at needs year over year, and you're looking at the talent that you're competing against. And luckily right now, Jaren Hall has outperformed individuals that were more hyped than he was entering the year. He has outperformed them, and that's what Todd McShay is getting at in his commentary. So I'm feeling pretty gosh dang confident. There's two things that Jaren Hall needed to prove this season. Number one, that he can stay healthy. Number two, that he has improved his vertical passing game. Yep. Boom. Done.
So far, so good.
He will be looked at very seriously in the pre-draft evaluation if he continues on this trajectory. Furthermore, when he sits down with every single one of these GMs.
There you go. Say it.
When he sits down in front of these scouts, he has interactions with these coaches. He is going to completely and utterly blow them away with his intellect, with his composure, with his tact, with his intelligence. I am telling you, like, if we keep on this trajectory, back-to-back quarterbacks.
Like Drake.
In the first round.
We're going back-to-back like Drake. Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
I agree with
you. I know he didn't come out last season, but, like, back-to-back starting quarterbacks going to the NFL first round.
Right.
I'm hyping it because I'm seeing it. I've seen the improvements from Jaren.
Think about the analysts that have or the play-by-play guys, right? Either before the game, they're like, oh, I'm juiced to call this game. Or even after the game, they go, yo, y'all got to watch this kid. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So this goes
Brock
back to the hype.
Got to watch him.
Hype, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but, like, it's coming from credible sources,
right? But it's good hype. I'm just saying, that's got to be a factor. It's got to be a factor.
You always ask the question, whenever someone scores a touchdown pass, who to get it against, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? So, like, you ask the same question.
It's different with quarterbacks, though.
You ask the same question, like, who's talking about Jaren?
Yeah.
Like, who's talking about him? Is it a true quarterback scientist?
I'm just saying, this is all a part of the hype, right? I said, you know, earlier, there's a melting pot of individuals that make up the hype. You know what I'm saying? And these play-by-play guys that have an audience, regardless if it's big or small, it's bigger than ours. You know what I'm saying?
They got a national
audience. Mm-hmm. And they're hyping them up. And so this is the thing, too. When play-by-play guys that have a national audience and a platform, and they make a tweet, right? We think other national play-by-play guys are doing. They follow them. And they listen to them, right? So that's how your name starts to go viral, you know, amongst this community, right? And, you know, they tweet it out. They get their opinion. And I think it's verified when they see it, right? They're like, dang, okay. And then what this – so, like, somebody like a Todd McShay, right, could see some tweets and, like, okay, this is the second week I saw this dude's name. Let me go take a look.
Sure.
Goes, take a look, and goes, oh, damn. Oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? And – yeah, like, this is why you have guys like Zach that came out of nowhere and just shot up. You know what I'm saying? And a big part of that is not only BYU being independent, but the TV contract with ESPN. When ain't nobody got nothing to do, ain't got no Tinder dates, you know what I'm saying? You don't got to help your mom, you know, with anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you just bored outside your mind on a Thursday night, what you doing? And you're a sports fan.
Yep.
Not just a football fan, but you're a sports fan. You're watching the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I would, you know, attribute all the hype and all of that with Zach and even now with Jaren to this schedule and the contract, man.
Statistically right now, Jaren Hall is 20th in the country in passing yards. Not too shabby, right? Completion percentage, he's been extremely efficient. He's 15th. In the country. His yards per attempt also up there, top 30, I think, or top 40. Try to get that one. I think he's hovering around like 8.1. So, I mean, his vertical passing game maybe could improve. His QB rating has been solid too. He's been, you know, in the top, I want to say, top 40 or so. And granted, you have to put a threshold of like how many attempts. If it's under 100 attempts, Do you disqualify him? If you go at that mark, then he's much higher in the rating because you're getting more volume there on the attempt. So he's one of the best quarterbacks in college football right now, and he's making fantastic decisions with the football as well. We're going to go to break. Let's talk about stats on the flip side. But that is our question of the day and poll of the day. Chime in on it. Want to hear from you with the trajectory. If the trajectory continues that Jaren Hall is currently on, where does he go in the NFL draft? Got to stay healthy. Got to continue to win some football games for the Cougs. We'll find out in the weeks to come if he can accomplish that. You're listening to Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
According to my calculation.
Come on. Let's talk about stats, baby. Let's talk about you. Back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Griddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com studios. Let's talk about stats today. We're going to discuss hand size in the statistical. I'm kidding. We're not going to do that. Or maybe we will.
I thought we were.
Yeah, we might as well. We might as well get into it.
I just Googled the size.
We did too much research in the break.
The size of Jaren Hall's hands. Like, because we're kind of comparing him to Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Bryce Young. Where does
By
Bryce
research,
Young
I mean, we
and
just
if you're under
6 feet
tall, if you're
under
6 feet tall, you better have big hands if you're slinging the rock. That's the idea behind it. So we're going to discuss that. Before we get into that, we're going to talk some girth and length and how you can increase that at Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. Does the blood flow impact girth and length, Andrew?
Well, it's a great question, and actually it's a very common question, because as a man ages, he notices that this kind of goes in the opposite direction to what he'd like. So yes, we think and we have seen that as a man gets treatments, and then as use and frequency increases, you'll also see some benefits in that area. So more blood flow and healthier blood vessels are definitely a good thing.
Yeah. Be like Hingle McCringleberry in your celebrations and head on over to Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. No, serious though, this makes an impact in the lives of men everywhere. Tell me about the clinicals and how it's proven scientifically to help.
Well, I believe the scientific community has spoken loudly, frankly. If you go to wasatchmedicalclinic.com, you can read 60 clinical studies. It's probably 1,000 pages of data. Some of it very complex, but basically they say there's definitely no side effects. There's no chemicals. It's safe. It's not invasive. It says that the blood vessels actually widen in diameter. That allows for more blood flow. One study called it the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
Give them a call, set up an appointment, free consultation, education, ultrasound, 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000, Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Thanks, man.
All right, so if Jaren Hall's going to be a first-round NFL draft pick, he's got to have the hands, right? Even though Kenny Pickett didn't, right? But like, I feel like everyone's going to be talking about the hand size anyway, especially if you're under 6 feet.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that an element there. They want to see the hand size if you're under 6 feet. It's not the end-all, be-all, but there's something possibly to it. So we got to discuss it, hand size. Now, Taysom Hill, not very big hands, and you have to wonder if that has been a contributing factor to him not being able to be the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. Now, Brady Papinga would hop on right now and tell us, Taysom, it's Taysom time in New Orleans because it's not looking as good as it needs to look. But that being said, Bryce Young, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, these are individuals that Jaren Hall is going to be compared to. And there's always these player comps, right? So Bryce Young, I've only found one site, it's not confirmed, is projected to have 9 3/4-inch hands. It's pretty big. So big hands. That's a good quarterback hand. You envelop that pigskin nicely, okay?
That's small compared to this list we're looking at, right?
Wait, which list are you pulling up right now?
So the 62 largest hand sizes in NFL history.
Oh, I mean, come on. We're not going history, though. Well, I go in history.
It's not really history because hand size has only been measured since like 1990.
Yeah. Russell
it's still
Wilson,
a baseline, though, right?
Yeah. Russell Wilson's 10 1/4 inches. Yeah. Like you watch him, and he's just like it's like a little tiny Nerf football in his hand.
See, and most of these are 10.
Yeah, most of these are all 10 plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Like number 62 was 10.00 inches.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good baseline.
So that's kind
so
of
so 10 1/4 inch is Russell Wilson. I mean, yeah, if you're under 6 feet tall. Which
Chad
he is.
Pennington was also 10 and a quarter.
Which is interesting. Kyler Murray's only 9.5 inches. Mm.
True.
Interesting. Mm.
And he holds on to that football quite nicely. He's running around with that thing in one hand.
I mean, he could throw it.
He could sling that thing.
But he played baseball, too.
The epitome of the small quarterback, Drew Brees, only 6 feet tall, 10.25 inch hands.
See? He's got massive hands.
Yeah.
Big hands.
Yeah. Check Doug Flutie. Doug Flutie, right? Hand size. This is an intriguing one, right? Because Doug was like 5'10". I don't know if they have his hand size, but that dude
was he was 5'7".
He probably is. I don't know. He's listed at 5'10".
Doug Flutie is not in the top 62.
You're not?
Yeah.
But he used to he used to sprint and do these jump throws, like amazing jump throws. Like, yeah, the guy's an athlete. Doug Flutie could have probably played professional baseball.
Dak Prescott, one of the larger in recent memory, 10.88 inch hands.
Doug Flutie and Kyler Murray are more alike than I think we talk about. Like when you're trying to compare someone to Kyler Murray, we should be saying Doug Flutie was the OG of the Kyler Murray types, right?
Yeah,
Doug Flutie, the type. An athlete.
Yeah, you can compare him by type for sure.
Heisman Trophy winning quarterback as well, bro. Flute.
Man, 5'7". Can you imagine being 5'7" and winning Heisman?
Wild.
What were you? Hey, B-Lo, what was your hand size?
About 9 and something. I know I had the largest at the combine. I mean, at combine.
At the pro day. Pro day. Right?
Yeah. You could probably look it up. I don't know.
We're going to pull that up.
But I know I had the largest.
Data up. You played the wrong position, son.
I played the wrong sport, dude. So I play baseball.
But I wonder where Jaron's going to come in at here. And I mean, he looks like he's got decent sized hands. Is it 9.5 like Kyler Murray?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. What like?
Mark Sanchez, 6'2", 10.5 inches.
I guess the concern is if you're under 6 foot and you have small hands, but you don't have like you're not accurate. Like is that what the concern is? Like that with they're trying to.
I think there's a little bit of ball security. Like also like if you're talking about generating. You generate torque through the lower half of your body,
your hips, right.
And then you go like this, and you torque. And if you can't hold the football in your hand as you're coming out, there's a tremendous amount of force, and so it'll kind of slip out sometimes. You watch Taysom, too. Taysom only has 8 3/4 inch size hands. So when he drops back and then he tucks it and he runs, he's not in a throwing state, meaning when he tucks it, he tucks it. He can't just hold it with one hand and run, right? Which exposes yourself to ball security issues anyway. Yeah. But you see Russell all the time. You see Kyle. You see all these guys.
All of
the guys. They're just one-handed. Like they're extending plays and just keeping their eyes downfield. And they're ready to chuck it. If you tuck, it takes you an additional 1/1,002 to get it out of out of the sweet spot, right? Tucked and into a throwing motion.
Yeah.
And you know, then there's some ball security issues as well. Also, you'll hear about getting the ball out quick. If you got go-go gadget fingers, you just get the ball, and you don't have to find laces.
Right.
You just have a little bit of tack on the fingers, and you just rip it.
Yeah.
Riley Nelson would come on and talk to you about that. Like any quick game, any screen game, he had a little bit smaller hands. Yeah. He generated a lot of his torque through his lower half and his body. When he lost some of that mass when he broke his back, he couldn't create that torque, and ball would flutter a little bit and die on him a bit. It's hard to do that, so it's all part of the equation, right? It's not the maybe most important part of the equation, but it's part of the equation.
You make a great point, though. It very well could be if you're under 6 foot, right? Because we all know if you are deficient in one area, and that if that area plays a very important, part of your role, mm-hmm. then you got to be in every other area, you got to be on another level. You know what I'm saying? So I get your point there.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna go up to him on Thursday and put my hand up. I'm gonna act like I'm high fiving it, and I'm gonna go like I'm gonna grab it real fast. I'm gonna try to do the pregame.
Oh man! Now everyone's like going into their garage, pulling out the ruler and like measuring their thumb to pinky, and they're like, "All right, where am I at?"
I think mine was 9.5.
It's big hands.
6.25, I think.
Big hands, bro.
I have small hands.
I bet you I have really small hands. I have Taysom Hill hands, I think. Got me the 8 3/4 over here.
I've got really, really small hands.
All right, we're going to go to break.
Maybe my hands are just really, really big.
Your hands are very big.
Oh, yeah. Bilo's got arms and hands of
and
a
feet.
Six
and feet.
And feet of a 6
What's
foot
size shoe
two,
you wear?
6 foot two guy.
What size shoe do you wear?
I wear 7.5.
What about you?
10. Where are you at?
11 and a half.
Yeah, you got some big old feet. Bigfoot over here. All right.
Bilo and I, I can say confidently, Bilo and I are legitimately the same size because when he was in his playing days, he was one of the only BYU football players that I could look in the eye, which I love personally because I'm 5 foot nothing and he's like 5 foot two because of that. Mm-hmm. So
It's always nice to see people, you know, that are your same age, right? And not like third graders. Like I hate saying
right,
it. Third graders. I'm like, scoot over, please.
All right, we need to go, man. This went downhill real quick. All right, we're gonna go to break. Jay Drew coming up next. Get his thoughts on some Cougar basketball, Cougar football. Don't miss it. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.